I really enjoy that song. They did a really good job with it. We're going to have our ushers pass out a little bit of a piece of a half sheet of paper to you, talk about the message a little bit tonight. It's called A Call to Prayer. So the usher is going to be giving you out a little bit of things to pray for this upcoming week. If you'd like to get your Bibles open, Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10, we're going to look at Romans 10. I'll also look at Romans chapter number 9 a little bit, and this message that is entitled, A Call to Prayer. A Call to Prayer. Prayer is an amazing thing. I know we spent a lot of time on it in June, July, and August, and the Lord spoke to my heart about as we go out this week, and I'm praying that our hearts will be interested in going out to win people to Christ and go out to bring people into our church for next week's Friend Day and for our fall revival. I asked the Lord, you know, what's the next message? Which the Sunday night before that, to try to encourage the people to be working and be serving and be interested in how next week can be a success and bring glory to God. And the Lord kind of brought to my heart that prayer is the way that it can happen. Prayer is so important and so valuable to that. You ever had somebody tell you that you are an answer to their prayer? I know I've had people tell me that, but I've told that to a lot of people. I know sometimes there's been people that pray for people to come to our church, sometimes specifically pray for certain groups or certain age groups, because there are certain age groups that we could use some more of inside of our church. And, you know, sometimes after a period of time, someone comes and they've been here faithfully for a little while, I'll go to them and say, you know what, you were an answer to prayer. Because of the fact that we were praying for someone, that God would bring somebody with these talents or with these children or with these abilities, and the Lord answers our prayer. I know that there's been a number of times people have said to me that, you know what, God used you to answer my prayer. And I've said that to so many people because I believe it all comes from God. Every good gift, every perfect gift, God is the one that is working on both sides. God is working in both areas. I think about the story of Cornelius. Cornelius was there, and he was a Gentile, and it says in the story, as it's found in Acts chapter number 10, he was a man that was praying to God and was giving his alms, and they come up as an offering, a sweet-smelling offering, but he didn't know the truth of the gospel yet, but he believed that there was a God, and he was praying and giving those alms, and over in the other area, there was Peter on the top of the roof, and he was praying, and as he was praying, God brought the two together, that God used Peter to answer Cornelius' prayer. I mean, that's just, to me, that's wonderful, that's amazing, that's thankful that God can work in two different spots. Think about the story of, I think it's Lydia was her name, and how she was a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which she was were spoken of Paul. And Lydia was in a spot, and it was in Philippi, and she was going down to the river to pray, and her heart was open to the Lord as Paul spoke. But remember, Paul didn't want to go to that area. Paul wanted to go to this area. I think it was Achaia, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go somewhere else. I think it was Bithynia, and then he sent him over to where Lydia was, and God answered that prayer. It was Paul was seeking, Lydia was there, and Lydia was open and ready for the truth, and guess what happened? God brought those two together. They were people that were praying, and I've always been interested, and I've always been impressed or thankful for people who will intercede on other people's behalf when it comes to prayers. I think some fabulous stories. I love the story of Abraham talking to Jesus about Lot being over there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's interceding on behalf of Lot. And he's saying, you're not going to destroy the city with 50 and 40 and 35. He's interceding there. And I think about Moses going up and praying and standing between God and that nation, that God was willing to destroy that nation and start it again with Moses. But Moses was there and he interceded on behalf of them. And this wonderful stories. I even think about the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the book of Isaiah chapter 59 verse 16. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no... Isaiah 53:12 uses, made intercessor for the transgressors. And even while on Calvary, he on his way to Calvary in John chapter 17, he prayed for those that were in the world to believe. Even while hanging on the cross, he intercedes by saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There are some great intercessory prayers in the Bible. And here in Romans chapter number 10, we see the heart of Paul. I see the heart of Paul. I hear the heart of Paul. But in all reality, I see and hear the heart of God through an individual and how he prays. Look what it says in Romans chapter number 10. He says, brethren, mine heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I hear them record that they have a zeal of God. And we talked about that this morning in Sunday school. James, the son of thunder, John's brother, had a zeal, but was it a righteous zeal? It was more a vengeful zeal, and it was an ambitious zeal. But it's just like these Jews. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Nicodemus this morning had a zeal for God. He was known for being a master, known for being a ruler, known for all the things he did zealously for God, but it wasn't what God desired. It was like what the Lord said to James and John when they wanted to cast fire down from heaven. He says, you don't know my spirit. You don't understand. Yes, you're zealous, but you're not zealous for the right things. It says in verse number 34, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What is he saying? Same thing we said this morning. They must be born again. They cannot create their own righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. And I see that heart there in verse number 1. For my heart's desire. This is Paul saying, this is my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And you go to verse chapter number 9, you see also this intercessoring. You see the heart of Paul, once again, which I believe that God has worked in his heart, because I don't think anyone would pray like this unless God had been doing the working and moving. It's on full display. In fact, I believe it's the heart of God, because God was willing to sacrifice his own son himself to be able to be saved. Romans 9 verse 1 says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. He's getting ready to say something that's bold. And he says, I'm not lying. You're going to hear this and you're going to think that I'm just speaking to just speak, that I'm saying things to show off. I'm saying this to just try to impress you. But he says, my conscience, it bears record with me. He says, also bearing with me witness, in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. When I wonder when the last time we really truly had a heaviness and sorrow in a heart for another person to see someone saved. Look what it says in verse number 3. He said, for I could wish that myself were a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. And you see this, willing to sacrifice himself to be a curse from Christ for his brethren. He had heaviness and sorrow, a continual sorrow. The needs of the lost was continually before him, and he spent his life trying to reach them. To me, when I read that and I think that, and it's a call to prayer. You think about Romans chapter number 10. You go back to Romans chapter number 10. You see that this is one of the great passages of the Bible. Inside of this, you recognize verse number 9 from the Romans road, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You go to verse number 13, we're familiar with that too. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, these are just familiar. How then shall they call on us of him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good tidings. And you see all these different things about winning people to Christ and leading people to Christ. But where does it start? At the first of the chapter. It starts with prayer. Brother, my heart's desire and prayer. I think that prayer is something that needs to be in our outreach. Remember, we learned this morning that whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, whatever is born of the spirit is spirit. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does the work. The Holy Spirit does the drawing. The Holy Spirit does the converting. And yes, we do repent of our sins. And yes, we do put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And we do do those things, but it's the Holy Spirit that's doing this work in us. And as I'm considering and thinking how I can spend this week laboring and working to bring people to Christ, but also to bring people here so they can hear the gospel and to have people and encourage that next week would be an honor and glory for God. As we work, I say, Lord, what is it that you want? How is this going to be successful? How is this going to bring glory to you? And it starts with prayer. It's a call to prayer. And it's a call to remember to pray. So I gave you a little list here. You know I like my prayer list as we come up to a big day, and it's a desire because I truly believe that God works as we pray. First thing you see on there is pray for the lost. In the Old Testament, there was a number of verses that it seems like the Lord sees the great need that's in Israel. But it seems like there's no one there to intercede. It seems like no one's serious about the need Israel has. It seems like there's not people there that are praying. And we consider the day and time that we live in, the wickedness of the world, and how many people are lost, and how many people do need Christ. And we see the great need, and the question is, why aren't there people praying? Why aren't people praying more? And Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16, and there's a phrase in there that says, wonder that there was no intercessor. Isaiah 63, verse 5, he says, I wonder that there was none to uphold. And Ezekiel 22, verse 30, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land for the land, and I should not destroy it, but I found none. What is being said here is that there was no one that was interceding. There was no one that was doing what was necessary, and it's a call to prayer. And I know this is not this does not talk about everyone. I'm sure there's some that pray. And I'm sure there's some that do what God's called them to do, and they're really faithful for that. And I know he's thankful for that. And I know God is always working our hearts. I know as I grow closer to him and as I try to do more for him, there's a greater desire, as Paul was saying. Nowhere in here is Paul saying, hey, it's time to give up. I've worked hard. I've given to all these. I pray without ceasing for all these people he said that about. I started all these churches. I've done all these trips. Nowhere does he say that, hey, it's time to stop. No, instead he says, continue. Continue thou on good things. Keep on pushing forward, keep on doing. The heart desire isn't, hey, I've done my job, it's over. And I think it's important that we learn to pray for the lost to be saved. Ezekiel 22:30, he said he sought for someone to stand in the gap, someone who's going to intercede, someone who's going to pray, someone who's going to take their time and get a prayer list and say, okay, here's a group of people that I know that are lost, or I know that are not in church at least, and I'm going to take the time, and I'm going to take the time to pray for them, and I'm going to intercede for them, and I'm going to do what is necessary and have my heart become like the heart of God, like the heart of Paul was, that they will be saved. Some people can be pastors, some people can be missionaries, some people can be teachers, some people can have different avenues of service. But all Christians can be witnesses. If something's happened in your heart, you can be a witness at what's happened in your heart. And all Christians, all of us can pray. So not only pray for the lost to be saved, next one, pray for the advancement of the gospel. Pray for the advancement of the gospel. This is, I know we talk about the intercession, and then when we go back to our prayer wheel or our prayer stops, and we looked at it, there's that third one that talked about this, and the fourth one that talked about watching and how we should watch and make sure that we're spirit-led, which is so important when it comes to the presenting the gospel. Not only that we have an enemy and that we need to recognize there's an enemy, and we need to keep on living our lives like there's someone who's an enemy of ours, and that we need to be walking circumspectly. And then we realize the need and the great need that is there, and we need to pray for the advancement of the gospel. We need to pray for open doors of the gospel. We need to pray that there are some places that are shut. And I think it's a wonderful idea to be praying for countries that don't have the gospel in there. But I know there's homes, there's people that have the doors that are shut to us. And there's people out there that does have no interest to hear the gospel, that we need to pray for the entrance of the gospel. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself for a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You say, Pastor, what are you getting? I'm telling you, we need to pray for an open door. Not only an open door, we need to pray that people would be open to the message, hear the message. Prayer should be specifically directed toward bringing all men to Christ, that the gospel will be able to go out into every area, every corner, and speak to all types of people. Prayer should precede our preaching of the gospel. I think prayer should, we need to make sure that our hearts are right. I think we need to make sure that we are prayed up before we ever go to talk to God, talk to man on behalf of God. And there's that saying, you know, we should always talk to God about man before we go to man to talk about God. And Andrew Murray wrote it this way: the man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelism history. The man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelism in history. The gospel advances through the power of prayer. Pray for hearts to be open to the message of the gospel. Pray that the eyes will be open. Sometimes some people are so blinded and they hear the gospel, they understand it, but they don't see their need. As I mentioned this morning, it is the gospel. Salvation is not hard. It's hard for get people to understand that they are lost and that they are need of a Savior and that they're a sinner and they need to repent of those sins. That's many times this trouble that make them understand that because of their sin, they someday will stand guilty before God and that they must confess that He is God and see Him as God. And in this, they need to have their eyes enlightened. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "And whom the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And what the Bible is saying there is the devil has blinded their eyes. And so many times we know people and we see people and our hearts are burdened for people because they hear it. They even understand it. They don't believe it because they've been believing a lie. They believe the lie of the devil. They've allowed the devil to blind them into believing that they're okay. Just like the prophet Elisha prayed for his servant, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." I believe it's important and put this down that we pray that certain people will actually be open to the message of the gospel, that they will open their eyes up to the needs of the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work, and it's a call to prayer. We should pray for the lost to be saved, and underneath that is the advancement of the gospel. And you have a certain person, you have a name there, and you say that Jim or Bob or Joe, their eyes would be open. They've been blinded by the devil. They don't think they have a need. The gospel has been presented. They've been shown that. They've been to church. They've heard the gospel. I've given them the gospel. And as you're praying, that their eyes would be open, that they would see. It seems like something's blinding them and they can't get it. They're not willing to make that decision. They're not willing to make and put that faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And it comes to this spot. We should pray that their eyes would be open, that the Holy Spirit would do the work. Pray that the gospel be given in power also. That's not even on your little paper, I don't think. It says, pray that the gospel be given in power. In prayer, we speak to God for men. In witnessing, we speak to men for God. And both are essential. But it's important that we pray before we go to speak to a lost person about their soul. We pray that the Holy Spirit will till the ground of their heart in preparation, that way that it will fall upon good ground, like it talks in Matthew chapter 13. Pray also as you speak to the lost person about Christ, as God is to use, as that God would use you to sow the gospel, and ask the Lord to help that they would receive that and claim the promise that's found in Isaiah 55:11 about how his word will not return void. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it." Pray for the power of God. Believe and trust that God can till that ground. Believe and trust that God can cause his word not to return without void. Pray after you speak to a lost person about Christ, about the water that the seed that you have sown and how you've watered it, and how that the Holy Spirit will bring that to their need, and that the devil will not catch away that seed. This is a spiritual warfare, and we pray for the power of God to be done, and we pray and understand as you're looking at these people to invite, as you're looking at these people to try, that you, Lord's laid upon your heart to win to Christ, you say, Lord, help them to have good ground if they come next week that they'll hear. Help the preacher as he preaches, that as he sows, that God will give him the words to say. And also help the Holy Spirit to water that ground in that way that the devil doesn't come by and steal away the truth that's been given. You know, let's pray for the power. So you're saying, Pastor, what are you asking us to pray about? Pray for the lost people to be saved. So I do that. I pray for individuals all the time, and I pray for this person. I got this. Listen, I know that's good, and I'm saying that, and I mentioned in our hour of prayer time or prayer stops that lots of times we cannot spend time going over every single person and spending a lengthy amount of time in each person. But I'm telling you, if you know people who are lost and God's put them upon your heart, take time this week and specifically pray for them. Pray that the door will be open, that someone can give them the gospel, that maybe you can give them the gospel. Pray that they'll be open to the message of the gospel, that the blinders will come off, and pray that God will do the work and he'll till the ground, and that we'll sow the seed. And as we sow the seed, that the devil won't be able to come back, and that the word will not return void, and that the devil won't steal away that seed, so they will come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Think also next about pray for laborers to be sent. I know you've heard us say this before, but the one stated prayer request of Jesus Christ in all the Bible was, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And that's on your prayer sheet there. Pray that laborers will be sent. Pray for more laborers. Pray that the Holy Spirit will work in the hearts of the children, work in the hearts of the youth, work in the hearts of the middle age, work in the hearts of the older saints in the church, that each person in the church will be stirred to find their place in God's plan. God's plan is that that all Christians would go out and evangelize, and they would go out to reach the world, that each Christian will find their place in God's plan, and pray that every believer in your church will become a faithful witness. That every single person sitting here will learn their niche and their ability to be able to give the gospel out to other people and be faithful with that. Also, not only pray for more laborers to be sent, pray for laborers already working. You think about it, there's people that are serving, and there's people that are giving. There's pastors, there's evangelists, there's missionaries, but that's only a small percentage of Christendom. That's only, it's believers, and it's the faithful, it's the church member that should be going out and also telling the people, and that it should be everyone, the Lord, that everyone that is trying to reach loss, that we pray for them, and that they would get much fruit, and that they would keep them, that God would keep them faithful. Your prayers cannot go, your prayers can go where you cannot. Sometimes when we consider the missionaries and we pray for people like the Westbrooks and the Shaws and the Odisons and the long list of people that we have, you know, the Joneses and the Songs, there are places that we can't go, the Barnhouses, you know, there are places that we physically cannot go and be at all those places. Our prayers can be. I think that's amazing. You think about it. Cornelius is there. Cornelius is ready to hear the gospel. And you know what? Peter's over here. God speaks to Peter. It's amazing how God works. And it's amazing how we can hold the ropes for individuals. The Apostle Paul pleads with the church, the local church. He says, not just to keep me in your prayers, but in Romans 15:30, he says, strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. He says, strive, press toward. He says, strive together. He didn't say, just strive together for me. He said, with me. And as we are praying for those that are already serving, and we're praying for those that are already working, I gave you some verses there so you can look up and consider ways to scripture praying, as we talked about in our list, that if you have certain individuals that God lays upon your heart, to pray scriptures for them people. And Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20, at the end it says, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And that it says in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, it says about that the God would open unto us a door to utterance. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1, he said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. What are you doing? You're scripture praying. You're asking and praying the promises of God on behalf of those that are already working. You say, Pastor, I can't get out physically. I can't do all these things. You can pray for those that are trying to do the work. Last but not least, you see, pray for the Lord to use you. pray for the Lord to use you. Isaiah's prayer, "Here am I, send me," should be all of our prayers. We should not pray for others to be used if we're not willing for God to use us. In my mind, it's hypocritical to pray and not be willing to obey. Charles Spurgeon put it this way: "Have you no desire for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that." One mark of a believer is that they desire to know others to know the forgiveness of sin and fellowship with God that they can enjoy also. And here in Romans chapter 10, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He's speaking to the brethren, and he's saying this in a family conversation. He's saying, my heart is, they need to be saved. And in chapter number 2, it talks about the continual sorrowness. It talks about the great heaviness. And don't just be sorrowful. Don't be heavy about it. Take it to God in prayer and leave it to the Lord. Do your part. And here's some ways you can do your part. Pray that God will use you. But first, you must be a usable vessel. Make sure that your heart's right. Confess every known sin to God and ask the Lord to help you keep you right with him. Yield yourself to the control of the Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill your life and your lips with his truth. Trust him for wisdom and what to say, and that you would have boldness to say it. You got to be clean, but you also got to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Trust in him. Allow him to do the work for you. And then ask for divine appointments. Ask for opportunities to talk. I know sometimes we pray for certain people to get saved, and God will allow certain times to happen and certain moments to happen, but because maybe our heart isn't right, or maybe because of the fact that we're not following, letting the Holy Spirit control, or we just don't think we have the wisdom. But as you've been praying for these things ahead of time, when the appointment comes, when the opportunity comes, it's going to be an answer to prayer, and God's going to give you the words to say to be able to help try to reach those people that you love so much. But we have to bathe it in prayer. Begin with prayer, and you'll be able to continue in witnessing. Many people do not witness because they do not pray as they should about witnessing. John Bunyan put it this way: You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Listen to that one more time. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. You're not going to be able to do anything for the Lord until you have taken and prayed for it, making sure that your heart is right. I know about you, but our hearts are burdened for people. We have sometimes prodigals in our life that are gone, and so much we desire them to come back, and our prayers are, we're longing for them to come back. But while we're praying, this gives us a certain way to pray. You know, have their eyes be open, Lord. Look at Scripture. Read promises about the word not returning void. See the Scriptures that, Lord, give me a door of utterance. Lord, give me an opportunity. Lord, use me. And then as you're praying these things, don't just shy away from the opportunities. Then have the filling of the Holy Spirit and the boldness to actually say things. George Mueller, most of you know him, was an evangelist greatly used of God in the 1800s. He's noted for his orphanages. He operated solely on faith and were the means of hundreds of boys and girls coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Soon after Mueller was saved, he began praying for 5 of his closest friends to come to Christ. It says, after 18 months, the first of his friends was born again. After 5 years, the second was saved. After 6 years, the third came to know the Lord, and then nothing. No visible evidence that God was at work. No sense that the last 2 friends were close to being saved. Still, Mueller continued to pray. He wrote in his private journal, praying day by day for nearly 36 years for the conversion of these individuals, and yet they remain unconverted. Mueller said, "But I hope in God, and I pray on, and look for the answer. They are not converted yet, but they will be." In 1897, after 52 years of daily prayer, and after the death of George Mueller, the last 2 boyhood friends were gloriously saved. You may not see all the answers immediately, but you may meet them at the feet of Jesus someday. We should keep on praying. We should keep praying and keep praying, because it's the only way we're going to have the opportunity. Now, don't use prayer as an excuse not to go soul winning. Well, I prayed about it. Pray and get our hearts right so we can then go out and tell others. So what is the thing that we, as we go out this week, to consider? Hopefully most of us will consider, what can I do to make next Sunday a success for the Lord? The first thing we can start off by doing is praying. After that, let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct us on what He wants us to do, and make ourselves completely available to use however He sees fit to bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Pray. A call to prayer. So this week, you say, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? I want it to be a success. I want people to be saved. I want this. I want that. It starts off with praying. Use this prayer list. Make sure your heart's right with God. And then allow God to use you to do whatever He chooses to bring people to Himself. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.